right. All right, turn to the person next to you and say, wake up. Good morning, good morning. Man, I'm watching that film, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm going like, I'm pretty sure I saw that kid in the snack shop last night. I think he lives here. last night was filled with so much emotion and excitement. All of you who'd made some kind of decision, those of you who are still making decisions and having conversations, keep going. It's so encouraging to see all that, you guys are actually responding to some of the things that are going on this week. Of course, I loved watching some of the open mic time. Open mic is like a legendary moment for me for camp, just doing it, watching it. It's just so fun. I loved it. You guys are super talented. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I've been around students long enough. I'm like, students are pretty talented. But then you go up, and I'm just like, I don't know what to expect. And then, boom, this voice comes out or this talent comes out. I'm going like, oh, my gosh, they could win The Voice. What? This is good. This is awesome, you know? I loved it. Loved it. So growing up, I think I mentioned this, I grew up in San Diego. I live in Arizona, but I grew up in San Diego. I grew up by a beach and Jesus. I personally believe heaven there'll be a beach somewhere, okay? I don't know, this is my opinion, Miguel 316, all right? But I lived in San Diego, and I grew up in a place where it was really nice. I got to, you know, I went to a public school. I didn't have the privilege of going to private school, but I went to a public school. And growing up, I had a lot of different names people would call me. I don't know if you guys have nicknames. Today you have usernames and handles and all those things. They didn't have that when I grew up. There wasn't a social media platform people had. But people had, you know, nicknames, and I hear some murmuring, so I'm guessing you guys have some nicknames. I don't know. I had some nicknames. I also had names that people would give me, but let me kind of go down the list of the different names that I had, right? Son, right? I was a son. Brother. I was a football player, a soccer player, a wrestler, a track sprinter, student, a youth leader. I was a prayer leader. You know, I was like a, you know, hey, Miguel, pray, you know, all that. I was that guy, right? I was a friend, a boyfriend. I was a redhead, right? A singer, a drummer, a construction worker. That's what I did. I used to work construction in high school, especially over the summer. I was a road director, so I actually got to travel around and lead a college team at one point. And I was a road director. I was a minister, a pastor, a preacher, youth pastor, husband, father. The list goes on, right? You get all these names that I've had growing up, and I've been called even to this day. And you look at all those names, and you're like, man, I could keep adding to this list. And I'm sure you have a massive, wide range of names that people have called you, right? And so one of the things I keep thinking about as I'm reading the story and I'm learning about Saul and now David's in the story, there's a mass market of names that the world calls us, right? And it's not like it's necessarily a bad name, you know, it's not bad to be called like, hey, I'm a football player, this is what the school recognized me as, you know, I was a captain of the football team in high school, great. You know, I was a son or I was a brother or a friend, like these are fine, right? But then I ask myself, what if one of these ceased to exist? What if all of a sudden I'm no longer playing football, which happened? What if all of a sudden, God forbid, I'm no longer a brother, that my siblings have passed away? Would I cease to exist? And so there's all these kind of questions of who am I really? What is my identity? And I think oftentimes we wrap ourselves up in this identity and we take on certain identities. Like what we see in this film, and I didn't think about it until now. I'm seeing this film with David and this boy, and again, Saul is trying to put his armor on David. It doesn't really work out. He's trying to take on this different identity. And David realizes, this isn't who I am. I'm someone else. And so he takes it off, and you know the story. Slays Goliath. And this identity we take on often will determine this future that we experience. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, go ahead and get your Bibles out. You see the story starting to kind of unfold a little bit more, and you can see, especially from the film, you see King Saul and this jealousy and bitterness and anger that's starting to just boil up inside of him. And you see how David, right, this boy, this shepherd boy, he comes into the scene, and did you not hear what they said about Theos? You not hear what they said about God? And it's amazing to see the story of this boy, and all he knows is, listen, I follow God, and God will deliver him. Not me, not my talent. Understand this, okay? You could do a whole study on shepherd boys and slingshots, right? You could, and the skill. I once met a Jewish boy who grew up in the eastern part of the world, and he actually grew up learning how to do a slingshot, and he showed me once. And I was like, okay, I'm thinking like, okay, you know, maybe it'll go like 50 yards, 100. Like, and so he shows me this sling, and he starts to twirl it. It's twirling this way, so it's up, right, underhand. And maybe there's another way to do it, but this is the way he was doing it, right? So he's doing this, and all of a sudden, he throws it. I lost the rock. I could not find it in my line of sight. It went so far, probably a couple football fields. I have no idea. I'm like, whoa. And this kid was good. He was good. And so I'm like, wow, I can't imagine David. He was skilled. He killed a bear and a lion. I'm going, the dude had some talent. Open mic would have been awesome. Let's see you kill some birds, man. You know? I mean, no, I'm sorry. Those of you who love birds. Oh, birds, birdies, no. Sorry. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Kill the bird. So you see this story unfold, and Saul's starting to get bitter, right? He's starting to get upset. He sees David come into the scene. He's a skilled young boy. He's got some talent, and he slays Goliath, not on his own skill and talent, but because God has delivered him, right, into his hand. And he gets jealous. And let me just read real quick what the scripture says here in 1 Samuel 18, because Saul starts to act a very hard way. Here's what he says. And he, Saul, hurled it at him, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. He hurled a spear. But David eluded or evaded him twice. I picture this. Like, at this point, he says he's a giant killer, right? So David's skilled, man. He's Jason Bourne. So he's like, so he goes, psh, psh. All right, and he's playing the harp, okay? He's sitting here playing his harp, beep, beep, boop, beep, you know, whatever that sounds like, you know, da, 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 da. You know, he's playing his harp, and all of a sudden this spear comes out. I'm like, yeah, real quick. If you're going to throw a spear at a giant slayer, you better make sure you hit him. I can't imagine what the emotion David could have felt, right, in this moment. He could have easily taken the spear, maybe even caught it, right? And just went, whoosh, dead, right? Could have easily taken it into his own hands. Skilled young warrior, the giant slayer. So David just, whoosh, whoosh, you know, whatever that looked like, ducks, you know, whatever. He dodges it, right? Skilled. So let me just keep reading the verse, okay? So verse 12, chapter 18 here. Saul was afraid of David. Mm-hmm, quite rightly so, right? Because the Lord was with David, but had left Saul. Okay. So Saul's trying to kill him now. He's trying to kill David. He's jealous. This activity all of a sudden just brews up in Saul, and now he's trying to kill this young man. And here's something you need to recognize about our identity. Identity always comes before activity. Whatever identity you've taken on, the activity will follow it. Identity always comes before activity. You see the activity that Saul is doing. He's jealous, he's bitter, die! That's the identity that he's taken on. He's taking on this different kind of an identity. And he's acting. How are you acting? Just ask yourself that. How are you living out? What's been the activity that's been associated in your life? All these names that I had. I remember there's, you know, I thought I was going to go play football in college. That was really what I was, man, I was prepared for that. A neighbor I had growing up, his name was Reggie Bush. He was a couple years younger than me, and he had an opportunity to go play. And I remember we were talking, and I was going, hey, man, I think I'm going to go play, you know, at this state. And I had a couple of opportunities to play some really good colleges. Some were partial scholarships, so it's not like everybody on the planet wanted me, and I was, you know, it wasn't that good. But it was, but I had some partial scholarship opportunities. So I'm like, hey, man, you know, USC called. Hey, man, UCLA called. Hey, Texas called. And it was funny because I'd come home from school, and my mom goes, hey, you got a letter. Or, you know, mom, you know, hey, some coach from Texas called? What's that? You know, is it Texas University? Okay, yeah, Longhorn? Yeah, okay, yeah, that's it, all right. You know, she's like, wow. She doesn't even know. You know, she's like, oh, my boy, you know. She's proud, you know. And so I was ready, man. I was training. I had a coach. I had a trainer. I was on a certain diet, you know. I was just like, everything was just wrapped up in this. And I remember telling Reggie Bush, I was graduating before him, so I was like, hey, Reggie, so my senior year, I was just a mess because I knew and I had planned and prepared for me to go to college and play football, but I felt God was calling me to the ministry. And it was this very weird ministry. It was a traveling music singing team. I'm a football player. Like, what is it? It's different. You know, it's a different path. Not right or wrong. It's just a different path. But I was so restless, I couldn't shake it. And so at the end of my senior year, I go, hey, Reggie, he's like, hey, so what college you pick? I'm like, I didn't. I said no. And I'm going to travel on this traveling singing team, and I'll just do it for a year, and then I'll go, like, to a community college, or maybe I'll apply somewhere else. And he's like, what? You idiot. That's so dumb. That's stupid. He's like, I'm like, whoa, bro, like, I will fight you. No. But it's like, I'm telling my friends this, like, Miguel, this is, what are you thinking? And all this and that. Okay, long story medium. What I ended up doing, I went on this traveling ministry. I thought I'd go for a year. I was there for 8 years. I didn't actually get to go to the college of my choosing necessarily. And I didn't have scholarship. I didn't come from a rich family. My parents couldn't pay for it. You know what God did? In that traveling ministry team, when I started, they did this deal with Liberty University. For every year that I traveled with the team, I got a year tuition for free to Liberty University. So I got my undergrad, my graduate degree for free. Look at that. Yeah, I mean, yay God. Okay, again, my identity was wrapped up in this sport, right? Football player, soccer player, track, drummer, singer, what? It was all wrapped up, and yet God had his plan, and I had to continue to seek out, where is my identity? If one stopped, would I cease to exist? There's something more than just me being a football player, an athlete, a singer, drummer, a son, a brother, a friend, a teacher, a pastor, an academic, whatever you might be. If that ceased, would I stop? Well, the answer is no. And here's why, and here's something in this verse that I'm going to show you that will never end. 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1, if you've ever wondered, who am I? Here it is. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. I love that phrasing. That we should be called, what's the next couple few words? Children of God, exclamation. Everyone say, children of God. Children of God. And that is what we are. These are like, he's shouting this. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Listen, you and I, we are a child of God, a child of the King of Kings. And that is what we are. And it will never cease, it will never end, it will never change. You might do something. You might apply for a job, go to a school. Great. Do it. And work at it with all your heart. But who you are and whose you are matters more. I think the king was wrapped up in his kingship, right? That was the identity he took. King Saul did not take on the identity of child of God. He took on the identity of king. And you see it all throughout the scripture. You see it portrayed in the films. Listen to your king. I'm king. And then a boy steps up. No, kill him. Kill him. I'm king. That's who I am. This was the identity he took on. So the world screams all kinds of things at us, right? Names, certain things. It might be good, might be bad. Maybe you've been bullied. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've been the one bullying. There's all these different kind of names the world says. Let me explain the tension here in a phrase I want you to remember, in a phrase and a line I want you to write down. The world knows your name, but calls you by your sin. Jesus knows your sin, but calls you by your name. Let me say that one more time. I need you to let this sink in. This is the tension. The world knows your name, but calls you by your sin, calls you by your shortcomings, your failures, your mistakes, and they scream it on social media platforms and every opportunity they can get. You make one mistake on that Friday night in that one place, in that one house, at that one party, at that one situation, and now the rest of your reputation is shattered, right? The world knows your name. They know your name, but they're going to call you by your sin. They're going to call you and scream it by your sin, by your mistake, by your past. But Jesus, right? Jesus knows your sin, knows what you've done, knows what I've done. But he calls you by your name. What's your name? Child of God. He says, you're mine. Child of God. We live in this tension and we hear it. And man, it's so hard. And I get it. It's so hard because it's what the world screams at us is so loud. And often it's the only thing we hear. We hear what the world is calling us. We hear what our school is calling us, or friends, or foes, or our neighbors, or the community. And it's just like this overwhelming noise that's coming our way. And we often take on this identity of what they've been calling us, right? But you're not what people say you are. You're what Jesus says you are. And more practically, you are what you respond to. If someone called me Tim, I wouldn't turn. If someone called me Paul, I wouldn't turn. If someone called me Miguel, I'd go, oh, hey, right? Because I know my name. But often we're turning every direction and every name that someone calls us, and we take on all these different identities, and our soul is literally in pieces. How's your soul this morning? You know, the word integrity, okay, this word integrity, it comes from a math word, integer, right? Wholeness, unit of one, right? You get it, you're a student. Often what we think of identity and integrity and all of this integrity thing, we take on these different personalities, these different names, meaning this, we're one way at school, we're one way at home, we're one way when we're by ourselves, we're a different way when we're just with our friends, we're a totally different way when we're at work. And we take on all these different names and personalities, and what's ended up happening is our soul is literally in pieces, and integrity says you need to be honest of who you are. One, I'm the same person in every category and every arena. Nothing has changed. Who I am at school is who I am at home. Who I am at home is who I am at work, because I know who I am and whose I am. And my identity is wrapped up in Jesus. I'm a child of God. And surely, listen. Trying and learning and growing is a part of following Jesus. Yes, I want you to earnestly and passionately grow in your faith, to study and learn and become more and more like Jesus. And there is a real trying, right? You need to work at it, right? Like Paul talks about running the race that is set before us, this mission and calling that God has in our life, right? To run this race with urgency and passion and zeal, absolutely trying. But let me say this. Accepting God's acceptance of me doesn't mean I stop trying. It means I stop trying out. Accepting God's acceptance of me, not what people are saying, accepting God's acceptance of me doesn't mean I stop trying. You're going to keep learning and growing and moving and studying. I'm all with you there. But it means that I stop trying out. You're a child of God. You don't need to keep trying out. I have nothing to prove because I've been approved by the king already. And Saul saw himself as a king, not as a child of God. A king was his position, not who he was as a person. And he never got that. He constantly was looking at what do other people think about me? What do other people think about me? And we do this all the time. And gosh, listen. Social media has made it much harder for us to find this. Social media and the information age and all this, it's made it a lot harder because the moment we post something, the first thing we're trying to find out is how many likes are we getting? I want to know if people like this. Acceptance, right? And it's like this all this tension within yourself, and I'm right there with you. And just because, you know, your teachers are adults doesn't mean they struggle don't struggle with identity. They're just big junior hires at heart, right? And so we're all kind of in this together, and I still to this day I'm going, you know, I'm waking up this morning going, you know, Lord, I want to teach them something new. I want to point them to you, but I got to be honest, there's a side that I'm going, are they going to like it? Right? I remember there's another a place I was at in Colorado. I was speaking there, and then all of a sudden there was this wave of students that come up and like, Mikhail, I really like your message. I really like your message. You know what I have to intentionally try and do? I have to say out loud, I have to say, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. One, because he's worthy of it. Two, I have to remind myself that it's all about him. You know how easy it would be for me to just gain the applause and reap the reward of the crowds, right? I get to stand in front of crowds all the time. And so it'd be easy for me to just get the applause. Yeah, I'm a preacher. Right? It'd be so easy for me to just be caught up in that. What if all of a sudden someone didn't like it? Mikhail, I think that was bad. You know, and in the notes I find out, you know, speaker sucked. Right? It was like, speaker was no good. Oh, man, what if they never have me back at Hume? What if Jeff doesn't like me anymore? You know, like, it's like all these, there's so, we all deal with it. Just because I'm a pastor and preacher doesn't mean we don't deal with it anymore. Just because I'm in my 30s now doesn't mean, if anything, it surfaces and comes in different forms. Moms look at other moms on social media. Dads look at other dads on social media. We look at our friends and we compare. And we immediately go, man, why don't I have that? I want that. And man, we get wrapped up in this whole idea. And here's what I'm trying to say, and write this down as well. If you always look at yourself through the eyes of others, you will never see who God sees. If you always look at yourself through the eyes of what other people see, through the eyes of others, you're never going to see who God sees, the child of God. You were called and blessed and loved. And I have a purpose for your life, and I need you to go and pursue that. But if you're always looking at yourself through the eyes and lens of what other people see, you're never going to see who God sees. So when I say, hey, God loves you, you're going to go, really? Right? You're going to go, oh, I don't know if I believe that. You're never going to see who God sees. My baby, well, all my babies. I love my kids. Got five of them. It's great. It's a small Hispanic family. I know my tios and tias are like, hey, so when are you going to have more? I'm like, what? It's like, what are you talking about? This is enough. But when they're, I love this like infancy stage of life. And I have a five-month-old right now, and I have a nine-year-old. My nine-year-old's the oldest. My nine-year-old, man, you could already see the insecurities coming out of her. She comes home and she'll ask questions. Like the other day, she said, "Hey, Daddy, you know my shorts don't fit me anymore. Hey, Daddy, my friend is really a lot smaller than me. You see where I'm getting at? She's 9. I have to remind her that she's loved, that she's beautiful." And a lot of this is just she's growing, right? She's growing. She's a 9-year-old. So she's outgrowing her stuff. My baby, she's 5 months old. You know what she does all day? Yeah, she poops and pees. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, you know, she does that. You know what she does when I'm changing her diaper? She just smiles at me. She's just looking at me while I'm wiping her butt, you know? She's just laughing. She just smiles. And it's funny because I can look at her, and moms and dads are like, you get this? I look at my baby, and her name is Pearl. So I look at my baby Pearl, and she just smiles. When she locks eyes, right? We lock eyes, you know, with each other, and she just smiles. And she's this is a little baby smile, you know, babysitters, you know what I'm talking about? You're like, you know? And I'm just like, oh, she doesn't have a care in the world. She is my baby, and that's all she knows. And when I am there and she can see me, oh, she's reminded that she's loved by me, that I care for her, that she's my child. And I love that because I see that and it's such a great example. Mark 10:14 says, let the little children come unto me, right? For thus is the kingdom of heaven. This childlike faith to remind ourselves, I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter what, I'm a child of the king. It doesn't matter what the peasants think about me because I'm a prince and a princess. It doesn't matter what the rest of the people are saying. It doesn't matter because all that matters is what God says about me. My identity is wrapped up in my Father and who I am. That's it. How do you see yourself? When you look in the mirror, what do you think? How would you finish this phrase? I am a, how would you finish that? Is your first thing is football player, soccer player, friend, brother, sister, valedictorian? Like, I mean, what is it that, how would you finish that phrase? Or is your phrase wrapped up in God? Is it, I am a child of the King, a child of God? And I love how some of the writers of Scripture open up their letters saying, I'm a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I love that because they're literally saying, this is who I am first and foremost. You got to understand this. Who do you believe yourself to be? And here's this bottom line here. Until you know your identity, your true identity, right? Until you know your identity, you will always lead with insecurity. Until you know your identity, you're always going to lead with insecurity. You're going to lead as an insecure mom or dad. You're going to lead as an insecure brother or sister. You're always going to question, am I good enough? Am I accepted? Did I make the team? What should I do? And, oh, no, I got fired today. Until you know your identity, you're always going to lead with insecurity. And let me tell you, I've wrestled with this. Am I good enough, Dad? Look at my friends. Wow, my friend took their kids to Hawaii. I can't do that right now. You know, oh, you know, wow, they're doing this. What, maybe I should do that. And it's like, until you know your identity, who you really are, whose you belong to, you're always going to lead with this insecurity, this question mark. I'm not sure. I'm hesitant about this. And, you know, who am I? What's my purpose? This insecurity that you're wrapped up in. And I'm telling you, you got to remember and remind yourself who you are. It's great to see the talent in the room. It's awesome. It's encouraging. And I'm like, man, I can never do that. That's so awesome. But if that stopped, if that ceased to exist, would you? And I've seen it so many times. A person who's wrapped up in a job loses his job, and he is torn to pieces. I've seen, God forbid this. Let me make it personal. So I 2 years, 2017, 2015, 2 years ago, my brother-in-law was in Oceanside. His name was Matt. He was 28 years old. He was driving, and he lost control, hit a tree, and died. my brother-in-law. My mother-in-law, so this is my wife's brother. This is her only other sibling, right? So it's just, she grew up with Matt and Janelle. Those are the two in the family. And so my wife's brother, I remember the call like it was yesterday. I was holding my baby and we get the call and, hey, Matt's been in an accident. He's been rushed to the hospital. And we're like, oh, let's pray. And we're praying and sure enough, we find out he passes away. Well, listen, I'm a brother-in-law, but that day I stopped being her brother-in-law. But it didn't stop who I was, because I knew I was a child of God. You know, his mom, mom's in the room, you get this, that was her baby boy. That was her baby boy. And now he's gone from this earth. And she had to remind herself, I'm a mom of a son, and one day I'll see him, right, in heaven, and there's that hope, and that's great. But she has to, Lord, I'm yours, though. I'm yours. And throughout the year, she's been continuing to remind herself, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. And whatever happens around me, and externally, it doesn't change internally who I am, that I'm a child of the King. Who are you? Where is your identity? What identity have you taken on? Do you know that you're a child of God? Until you know your identity, you'll always lead with insecurity. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I need to remind myself of this over and over and over. The world knows my name, but they call me by my sin. And it's almost like it's as if they're looking for me to make a mistake. And so the first mistake I'll make, they're ready to post it. They're ready to shout it. But Lord, you know my sin. You know where I err, where I make mistakes. But you call me by my name, that I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Saul did not remember that and realize that. His identity was wrapped up in his position. He did not remember that he was a child of God. Help us to remember that. Help us to be wrapped up in that identity, that no matter what happens, we are a child of the King. That will never change. We are a child of God, and that will never change. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.